Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome. Good to see everyone. Happy to be back and excited for the draft next week. Certainly want to thank my personnel staff and the coaching staff for all their hard work. Certainly all year round, but especially these last few months and weeks, we've been putting our final touches on the draft board and look forward to Thursday and hopefully adding some more talent to this roster. So with that, open it up and take some questions.
Let's go ahead and start with Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Brett. Curious about this draft in particular when it comes to offensive tackle, wide receiver, just casting a wide net, what you think of those two positions, and then where you think maybe the best value in this class would be.
Yeah, I think the draft in general has some positional depth, although it is funny when we're looking at the numbers and the general consensus is this is a deep O-line class, or this is a deep D-line class or what have you. It's not necessarily true for us, I think, sometimes, because like for the tackle position, I think once you get past like pick 35 or 40, most of those guys are gone. So if you're picking in the top 10, it's a great offensive line class. If you're picking in the top 15, it's a great offensive line class. If you're picking 32 and 64, you got a shot maybe here or there. So I think that goes into, you know, the additional work we put in and putting a strategy together and what guys might be worth a move, depending on how it all plays out and, you know, what other positions are going to provide top end value if say an O-lineman or receiver isn't there. And, you know, do you go corner? Do you go defensive line? I think that there are some interesting pockets there. So I think the good thing is like every year, there's a lot of good players, and it's just a matter of working on our board, our system, given the picks we have and the, you know, the potential moves we can make.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Brett. We haven't really got a chance to talk to you since the free agency period started. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my two questions. But that one, what was kind of your take on just everything that you were able to get done, especially, you know, Chris and bringing so many of the guys back on defense and obviously the addition of Hollywood Brown, too. And then I'll have a follow up.
Yeah, so going into the offseason, a lot of work to do and always unique challenges depending on the year and, you know, what your cap situation looks like. When we left Vegas and had a chance to get together before the combine, we were just kind of outlining some different ideas and some thought processes. And one of the things that I think was glaring to us was we were potentially looking at losing most, if not all, of our defensive line, Mike Dana, Chris Jones, Turk Wharton, Derek Nnadi. So obviously a huge amount of concern there, especially given how well our defense played last year. I mean, it was one of the top units in the NFL. Those guys have all played together in the system for a long time. So Chris, right out of the gate, was our priority. I wanted to make sure we got him done. And then I think there was a little domino effect there. Had the move with LJ, and we were able to bring Mike Dana back. But I think being able to secure that front with Dana, Turk, Nnadi, and Jones was really important to us. Bringing back Drew, Tranquil was important to us. So really focused on, you know, retaining as much of that defense from last year as we could. And then like every year, whether it be free agency in the draft, if there's an opportunity to add a playmaker for Pat, we're always going to be looking for those options, and played played it out, so to speak, you know, in some other positions. And I think we were lucky that, you know, Hollywood situation played out the way he did, and think he's going to be a great 1 year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So I think we're excited. And, you know, it's like I said, every year is different and unique. And I think with the resources we had available, we maximized what we can do this offseason.
You mentioned like the offensive line in particular and the depth in this draft. You know, this organization has made a move before from 27 to 10 to get a quarterback. Could you ever envision yourself going to 32 to top 15, top 10 for a non-quarterback position?
I mean, I can envision myself. I mean, got to get the owner's approval on that. But no, I think it changes every year. And I think we have a pretty good plan this, you know, this upcoming week. But yeah, I think, listen, every situation is unique. I mean, we have had conversations in the last few years about guys that we consider top five, top six prospects if they were to fall into the teens moving up, and got Clark and Andy involved and they were all in it, and those situations just didn't work out. So I think that I certainly could see something like that. A lot of things have to fall in place though for that to happen. So it'd have to be the probably a specific guy or two, and then probably getting into a landing spot that's not expected. And then if he does get to that landing spot that's not expected, the team is willing to work with you on a trade that makes sense. So certainly can see it. A lot of things have to happen and fall in place for that to to see an outcome like that. But I always think anything's possible.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell.
Hey, Brett. Couple of things for you. Just wondering, without asking you to reveal your draft board, just what you think overall of the wide receiver class.
I think it's one of the deeper classes. I think the good thing about the wide receiver position, and this is typically every year, is they provide depth really 1 through 5, and there's always pockets of players. I think there's a large group of receivers in the first 50 picks, I think, that we have great grades on. And then I think there's another pocket right behind that. I think that is a positive. I think, you know, corner, there's some depth, you know, middle to later on in the draft. O-lineman, as I mentioned in the opener, it's really good early. And so there'll be a late run on those guys, but it tails off a little bit. I think it's a better defensive line class than we've seen in the past. I think there's some good mid-round depth there. You know, linebacker, running backs probably a little lighter than years past. So I think O-line, receivers, corners are good hot spots throughout the draft. And that's a good thing because we can use one of each of those.
And then, just based on how last year unfolded, particularly the back end of the draft, you know, I know there were at least a couple teams that weren't excited to deal with you. What's this last week like as far as setting up the potential, if there are guys that maybe you would want to trade up for as the draft unfolds?
Well, we'll see. Typically the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday right before the draft is when the teams do all their call checks, make sure the phone numbers are working for the teams. So we'll get an email list of draft day phone numbers. So we typically do a run through and check with all the teams. And once we do that, it usually kind of spins into just some casual dialogue, hypothetically. And you know, if you were looking to move up or move back, those type of scenarios. So I think we'll do a good job again out in front of this and talking to some teams and, seeing where their mind is in regards to value of or their boards or what their, you know, what boards they're working on. A large part of this is just making sure we're all on the same page in regards to what draft boards you're working from, because as you know, Sam, there's tons of boards. Each team has their own boards and in a combination of other teams' boards with historical boards they use. So we typically reach out to those teams early in the week, make sure the phones are working, and exchange some ideas and usually just make sure we're all on the same page in regards to what boards we're working off of.
We'll go next to Sarin Petro.
And I'll have a follow-up, Sydney, if I could. Brett, in light of what's going on with Rashee Rice, does that make you have to, you know, put some guys like a Tavondre Sweat, who got a DWI in the last week or so, do you have to push those guys off your board more now because of what you're dealing with currently?
Yeah, I think, we spend a great deal of time on all these players, and you know, I think we have to look at each individual case independently and just work through it. And you know, I think maybe subconsciously, maybe it factors a little, but I think that when we stick to our process and you know, trust the guys that we have around us, I mean, we have a great coaching staff, we have a great personnel staff, we have you know, a great security team. So we really lean on those guys. And you know, at the end of the day, I trust the people around me, and you know, they spend a lot of time working on the player and his ability to come in here and be a good person, be a good teammate. And so I think we try to stick to, you know, what we've done in the past. And I mean, there'll always be some things that factor into ultimately what we decide to do with a guy. But I think sticking to our process, and we've done this now for, you know, a little bit here, and it, over the long run, it's, you know, provided us a good blueprint to work off of.
And then kind of a follow up to what Sam had, since you won the championship, do you find yourself like there aren't as many trade partners, teams actively don't want to deal with you because they're afraid that they'll be helping the champ?
I think, yes and no. I think that if a team, if it can benefit them, I think they're always going to pick up the phone and call and be willing to work. I don't think a team is going to, you know, diminish their ability to do something they really want to do just because it's the Chiefs. I do think, though, that the ability to deal with certain teams, I mean, it's always been understood that if you're going to deal with a team in your division, there's a little bit more of a premium. But I think just some of the AFC teams in general that are consistent playoff performers, I mean, the Buffaloes and the Cincinnati's and the Baltimore's, I mean, it's probably a little bit harder to deal with those teams. And even if they do pick up the phone, I think some of their asking prices are a tick higher. So I think we get hit with a little bit more interest, but I think that there's always a way to make a deal, but I think certain teams will probably up the price up a little bit.
We'll go ahead and wrap up with the last five hands that are up. So Blair, you're next.
Hey, Brett, I think you just touched on this a second ago, and I think we ask you this every year, but the value of the visit, you know, whether it's at the combine or a pro day or whatever, what kind of information do you glean from that, and how helpful can it be?
Oh, it's extremely helpful. And I mean, when the guys come in here for the visit, I mean, they're here all day. I mean, they'll start in the training room. They'll go through another comprehensive MRI and meeting with Rick. And then from there, I mean, they get a chance to visit with all of our coaches. And at the combine, we do have a chance to spend some time with these kids, but I mean, it's maxed out at like 15 to 17 minutes. So you get a chance to get a brief intro, a little bit of an idea of their background, and you get into some football, but it's not very long. So I think just having the whole day and getting to know the person, understand the person more, talk through things, talk through football, talk through their upbringing, all that kind of stuff is extremely important to us. And, you know, typically we go through our system and guys, we either feel, you know, one way or the other, and guys that, you know, we're not interested in is one category. And then guys that we feel really good about, we know this guy, it's not going to do us any good. You know, we don't deal with those guys, but then you have a handful of guys that you don't, when you're at the combine, you felt like that 15 minutes just wasn't enough and you wanted some more information. And then there's another series of guys you bring in that didn't get invited to the combine. So you kind of like them to some degree, but you have no medical on them whatsoever. So those guys have to come in because there's just no medical on them. So it's a combination of different combinations of reasons of why we bring guys in, but they're super beneficial for us.
Let's go next to Jesse.
Hey, Sid, I'll have a follow-up too. Hey, Brett, I just wanted, with Rasheed's kind of unknown status right now, how, if at all, does that change or affect your guys' draft and who you might take?
Yeah, I don't know if it does, just because I think we have a lot of needs. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, you go into every draft. I mean, you can look at our roster, and I think short of quarterback, you know, maybe linebacker. But I think that there's needs on the offensive line for sure. I mean, you know, guard center depth, competition at left tackle, receiver, there's a need. Cornerback, we just lost Snead. We do have some good young guys. We do have Nazi Johnson coming back. But corners are hard to find. You know, we could probably throw safety in there too, because I think we really like Shamari Connor and Cook and Reed. So, I mean, look, I think that it's one of those scenarios where I think there's a lot of positions that would make sense for us. And again, you start at the O-line, D-line and receiver position, but it's a long season and, you know, depth is super important to us. And also, you know, guys, contracts do run out. And, you know, I think anytime you get a player that you think can come in here and challenge for a starting position right away, I think you go in that direction.
Yeah, you kind of led me to this one. You know, situations change every year. A couple of years ago, you guys had lots of draft capital, you know, go up and get Trent McDuffie. How likely do you think a trade up is this year, just given your overall depth and the draft capital that you have?
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, weighing the options. And on one end, there's probably, you know, I think there's 16, 18 guys this year that we have as first round grades. You factor in some quarterbacks there. So, you know, and then some maybe some teams that go in different directions that are contradictory to what our board has. So you figure 16 to 18 names, four quarterbacks, maybe five quarterbacks. I mean, there could be a window there where we have an opportunity to get a guy, and then it's just weighing, you know, the cost, because if it is a corner or an O lineman or, you know, receiver, you know, we're probably going to give up the opportunity to draft that other position later in the draft. So is, you know, one guy that you have a first round grade on better than two guys that you maybe have second, third round grades on? It's just kind of weighing that formula for us. And, you know, I think that's where it comes down to, just, you know, the value of that guy that falls. And if he's one of those guys that you really have as a top 10, top 12 pick, I think you up and do it, like Trent McDuffie's situation. I think if it's one of those guys, I think we'll certainly be aggressive, and hopefully we can find a trading partner. But I also think there's some depth in round two there. So, you know, I do think there's opportunities to add players that can come in and push for starting positions in rounds two and three as well.
Let's go next to Nick Jacobs.
And Sydney, I'll have a quick follow-up. Brett, for you, rough estimate-wise, do you know how many guys you have on your board?
I wrote that down. I knew someone was going to ask me that. Because I never know. I just see a bunch of names up there.
Right.
I don't, like, count them. I sort of just move them around, and I have them in like, pockets. And but I was walking in here. I said, someone's going to ask me exactly how many guys I have on the board. So it's 221, which is a lot. But you'd have to come in here and be with me one day to see how I process this, because – like, I have guys in the sixth or seventh round on my board, but I always know that we'll never get to the sixth and seventh round. So the total number of boards, total number of players on the board, 221. But in my mind, there's kind of like a line right there. And those guys in six and seven, we keep on the board, because that's where I want to work down on free agency. And so I know where I'm going. As soon as the draft's over, the guys that we had on the board at six and seven, again, we'll have plenty of numbers. We'll never get to them. But that's my free agency board, and that's kind of how we work through that.
And then my last question for you, each draft is unique, has a unique characteristic to it, like 83 having the five quarterbacks in the first round. I know a couple of years ago you thought there'd be a 1,000-yard rusher in the seventh round. For this draft class, what do you think it's gonna be remembered for down the road?
Well, gosh, that's a good question. I'm not sure what it will be remembered for. I think it, you know, obviously it'll depend on how these where these players go and how successful they are and what teams strategize to do different things. One interesting perspective that I did find kind of going through this is just the NIL effect. So, you know, typically when you're working through the fourth, fifth, sixth round, there's always interesting prospects and small school guys. And but I think it's, what you're starting to see is these fourth, fifth, sixth round prospects are a little older because they're staying. And some of these underclassmen that get third, fourth round grades, they have the opportunity to stay in school. And so I don't know if these drafts, and this will be a trend where they won't be as deep as they used to be. So, I mean, if you're a junior and you have a third or fourth round grade and you have an opportunity to stay in school and make money, you're going to go back, potentially stay in school. And so what happens is I think the drop off from rounds three, the cutoff line, I think the availability of young guys with potential that came out early, maybe they shouldn't, they would have stayed, they would have been a first or second round pick. Well, those guys are staying now. So I think the drop-off numbers are a little bit more extreme this year, and the players are a little bit older. So we have to work a little bit harder to find some young guys with upside that we really like. That, to me, I found challenging. And when we were going through the board, it was one of the things that I kind of like just instinctively thought. And then when I checked with our guys, they were like, yeah, these guys are a lot older. And but again, you know, when you have a ton of underclassmen that put their name in, decide to come out, that makes every draft deeper. When guys are staying in, it's going to make every draft a little tougher to work with on the back end.
Let's go to Adam Teicher.
Hey, good morning, Brett.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, Dorsey would be appalled at you for having 221 names on your board.
Yes, too many.
Yeah.
Well, we don't use them all. We just have them up there just for for a free agency.
All right. I just wanted to get your expectations on a couple guys for this upcoming season, Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. What are your expectations for those guys for this year? And Sid, I'll have a second question as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, we obviously hoping both continue to improve, progress, and are able to be consistent playmakers for us. And you know, I know Kadarius has obviously had a long history of injury issues, but I mean, he is probably our most talented wideout. Now, again, it doesn't do anyone any good unless you stay healthy. But I mean, the kid has always worked hard here for us. And, you know, I know he's been down there with Pat, and I think it's just a matter of him staying healthy. And I think if he can do that, he can really do a lot of great things in this offense. And, you know, that's one of the things that there's a lot of speculation about KT, but I don't think that, you know, we ever stopped believing in him. And I think people around the building like him, and you know, it's the injury bug, and hopefully he gets some luck on his side and he can stay healthy and be the player that he was in Florida and the player that we've seen in spurts here. So just hoping he has a good off season and has a little luck on his side and can stay healthy. And with Sky, Sky's always been, you know, mentally tough kid, and, you know, he's still, he had that knee injury last year too. So, you know, to some degree, just these guys being on the field, staying healthy, and then, you know, making plays when their number's called. And the great thing about both these guys are they're two guys who really like as people, and they're smart guys, and they work hard. Now it's just a matter of them putting themselves in position to earn consistent playing time and then make plays when their number's called.
Okay. And a similar question on Wanya Morris, just what you thought of him when he had to go in and play last year for those four or five games, and what is his readiness maybe to be an every down starting left tackle, if that's what you need him to be this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think we were really happy with Wanya's development last year, and I think he showed some signs early on in the OTAs that we were really excited about. Continue that growth and maturation process during the training camp. And then middle of the season there, he got an opportunity, some good, some bad. I think Wanya would tell you this. I think if you look at his body of work last year, I think on one end, you're happy that he was able to come in at the pro level and be competitive. It wasn't perfect, but it also was solid play that I think is a good foundation to build and grow on. But he has to come in here with the mindset that, you know, we're going to look to bring in competition, and, you know, he's got to come in here and win that position. And I think it's his job to come in and be prepared to win that position. And I think it's our job to go out there and find competition, you know, for that left tackle spot. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of promise in there and there's a lot of ability. But certainly I think, you know, it's our job to bring in some competition there and make him earn that and work for that.
And we'll go last to Nate Taylor.
Brett, on the left tackle situation, how much do you prefer, or I guess has the organization, how much do you all prefer position flexibility, having a left tackle who could potentially play right tackle if necessary? And given it's a premium position, I guess how important is it to sort of find that next guy that can obviously play that position for multiple years, given you had left tackles of different guys over the last couple of years?
Yeah, we put a lot of stock in flexibility. As you mentioned, Nate, you even saw that last game of the year when we played the O-line, coach had those guys playing different positions. You know, Creed played guard, and, you know, the tackles swap positions and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, that just, it kind of illustrates exactly what we think of positional flex and in game situations. You never know if it's going to be a right guard, a left guard, a center, a right or left tackle that goes down. So position flexibility does heavily weigh into it. You know, there's a lot of guys that are a lot of O-line coaches would tell you, if you can play tackle, you can potentially play any position across the board. So that, I think that's why tackle is so premium. It, you know, have to protect the quarterback's edge and the blind side, but also typically those tackles are athletic enough to slide inside and sometimes even play center. We saw that with Mitch Morse a few years ago. He was a tackle in college and he ended up being a really good center. So position flexibility is super important to us. And yeah, and you know, it is a quarterback league and you got to protect them and you got to get after them. And those tackle positions are always going to be important because they protect the most important player in your team. So if we get an opportunity to get one of those guys, for sure. I mean, it's always on your mind, just like DN and DT. So again, hopefully the numbers work out and hopefully there's a window of opportunity for us, but I do think there's some really good players in rounds 2 and 3. So just need a little patience and a little luck, I guess.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.